Once again, my brothers and sisters, sons and daughters of the Most High God, we have been allowed to enter into the rest of our God and be led by the Lord of the Sabbath, Jesus Christ, Yahshua HaMashiach, who is the reason for the upcoming season. We're not talking about Saint Nick, but we refer to the Son of the Living God, the Lamb who is, who was, and is to come, the perfect, innocent, willing, and blameless, who was sacrificed for mankind during the approaching Passover season, where once again Yah saved. Before celebration and rejoicing comes, the acceptance of our humanity, our imperfections, we have to be humble. Our humbleness has to be wrapped up in sincerity from our heart. In biblical times, the people had to become clean and stay clean before the glory of the Lord and the holiness of the Lord yashabed or dwelled with the people. They had to be right before his glory could rest with them. In modern times today, the 21st century, our Father with Yeshua on his right side is expecting us to be ready. Clean, dressed, sane, and most importantly, humble. Since he is holy, that makes us holy. Leviticus chapter 11, 44. I'll read that to you. For I am the Lord your God, ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, for I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. Also in 1 Peter, I'll read that to you. You don't have to turn there. Also in 1 Peter. Chapter 1, verse 15. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And Peter is quoting Leviticus. And in Leviticus chapter 11, it is referring to the dietary laws of unclean and clean animals. And this is what Peter is referring to. So in all aspects, we have to keep ourselves in line with the Father. Amen. And that part in 1 Peter, he was talking about your conversation. But if your conversation is filthy, you might as well be eating unclean things. Thank it goes you, hand in hand.
Amen. Thank you.
Today, embracing the challenge, part two, heart check. That's the word of the Lord for the sheep of God today. Because Yeshua, Jesus Christ, is our eternal shepherd forever. In my past, I have heard the term gut check used quite a bit. And obviously when I was in athletics and coaching, I used the term gut check. But today, for Christians, believers, anybody who is a follower of God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Father is having a heart check right now. He's checking our hearts. And it was interesting to me how things were brought up to my mind about during the gut check time when you're in sports and athletics, the practices are really hard. Stuff is hard. There's a lot of, we're going to make stuff really hard for you to be successful. So when we look at the believers and Christians and people who follow the Lord, the Father is issuing heart checks. Because when we would have the gut checks, you would find out which guys were serious, which guys were going to stick in there, and which guys would quit. Which guys would fold up their tent, pack their bags, and go home. Well, the same thing for the people of God. The Father is checking the hearts to see who's going to quit, who's going to fold up their tent, who's going to leave having a temper tantrum. So it's a heart check. man cannot really tell, because I can't look at a man or a woman and say, oh, this and this about that person, because I don't know what they're thinking. I don't know what they're feeling. I don't know their inside. So the questions that the Father have for us, me included, is there a little Judas Iscariot in your heart? Just a little bit. That's all it takes. Or are we prideful and big-headed and got just a little bit of Pharaoh in our heart? Just a little bit. These hearts were used negatively during Passover season. Or is there something inside of your heart that has been seen or placed by Yeshua, Jesus Christ himself, and he wants to magnify that through you? It's either or. Have we been placed with a heroic heart like Gideon and Boaz? Is your heart humble like Ruth and her great-grandson, King David? We all know that only the Father can decipher our hearts. He knows what is in there because he placed it in our heart, or he planted it. Let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 17. Just give me amen when you get there. Jeremiah chapter 17, starting in verse 9. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. So once again, we cannot judge each other's heart and judge other people. We had a family member pass, and we went had a funeral a couple of Shabbats ago. And when you have not been in the Sunday realm of Christianity for a while, and when you go back, there's a lot of things that's kind of different. But I would have to agree 110% with what the, and this was in Nashville, what the pastor was saying. He was talking about how we esteem people above other people, and how he was saying that what we regard for a person probably is wrong in comparison to the heavenly realm, to what the heavenly thinking of a certain person should or should not be. So we might think that sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so is all that in a bag of chips, but the guy over here or the girl over here just can't seem to get right. The heavenly realm has such high expectation for them. So once again, only the Father knows what's in somebody's heart. So we have to nurture each other. Amen. Genesis chapter 20. Starting in verse 1. Just give me amen whenever you get there. I didn't start this. I'm sorry. Genesis chapter 20, verse 1. And Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country. He dwelled between Kadesh and Shur and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, behold, thou art but a dead man, for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? Said he not unto me, she is my sister? And she even herself said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this. And God said unto him in a dream, yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine. We'll stop right there. So once again, the Father knows the heart. The king is having a dream. The Father is approaching him to a dream. And the first thing he says is that, well, Lord, I didn't know Will you destroy a righteous nation? And the father's response is, I know you didn't know. I know that because I know it's in your heart, and I kept you from doing this because there's also wickedness in our heart. So did he have intents of probably laying with her? She was a beautiful woman. Did he probably have thought of that? Probably. But in the depth of his heart, the integrity of this man, the father's like, I know, and you are innocent, but I'm warning you. So if you follow your flesh anyway, when you wake up and you lay with this woman, that's on you. Weeks ago, Cain, was talking about Cain. Sin lies at the door. Its desire is for you. See, the father will warn you. He warned Cain. Cain did what he wanted to do. He warned the king. The king didn't do it. And Abraham prayed for him and blessed him. Judges chapter 6. The integrity of the heart. What is in our heart? Judges chapter 6, starting in verse 12. I don't know about y'all, but the presence of the Father was overwhelming. Overwhelming. Judges chapter 6, starting in verse 12. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our father told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And I meant to read that out of the Tanakh, just because we were talking about hero. And obviously in the King James or in our other version, it'll say mighty man of valor. But something that caught me off guard, and I'll read it again for you. I got to get in the right place, first off. I kind of see what Kelly Mack says, being drunk in the spirit. Judges chapter 6, I'll read it again for you. And the angel of Hashem came and sat under the elm tree in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abizurite. His son Gideon was threshing wheat at the winepress to hide it from Midian. The angel of Hashem appeared to him and said to him, Hashem is with you, O mighty hero. Gideon said to him, I beg you, my Lord, if Hashem is with us, why has all this happened to us? And where are all his wonders of which our forefathers told us, saying, behold, Hashem brought us up from Egypt. For now Hashem has deserted us, and he has delivered us into the grip of Midian. Then Hashem turned to him and said, go with this strength of yours, and ye shall save Israel from the grip of Midian. Behold, I have sent you. So we have a conversation, angel of the Lord, the Most High himself, maybe Christ, talking to Gideon. Gideon is threshing. I won't get too deep into that because that will be for unleavened bread the seventh day. But he's talking to Gideon. They are oppressed. They are oppressed people right now. And here is this angel or this man calling him a hero. His response is, well, I've heard of all these stories about our God. Our God did this. Our God did that. I'm looking around. Where's our God? We're suffering. Where's our God? And the angel response is, you're going to save the people with that attitude or with that heart of yours. You will. You will be a hero. Man of valor, when we look at valor in King James, it can mean different things, and we'll look at that when we're going to turn to Ruth here in a sec. Go ahead and turn to Ruth. But because of his attitude, or because he was speaking truthfully, he wasn't holding his tongue. I mean, if you want to flip the scriptures around and say he was talking bad about the Father, maybe. Where is our God? I've heard these stories. I've heard these stories, but where is our God? Because we're not living too well right now. Ruth chapter 2. And Naomi, verse 1, and Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. Some might say valor. In our study notes, a mighty man of wealth is Esh Gibor Kayal, meaning a man of valor, heroism, courage, strength, and as well as a man of resources, as in having wealth. Valor, heroism, courage, strength. Now, I'm an 80s baby. So when I was coming up, my definition of a hero was Rambo and Colonel, they drew first blood. Just that is the that is what you perceive as being a hero. There's no war going on. There's no fighting going on during roof time. But Boaz is a man of heroism because he does all the right things. So there's no situation to be in. Gideon was called a hero because in his heart, he had exactly what the father needed. They've been oppressed again. So is there a hero in your heart? What's in your heart? We understand the deceitfulness and the desires and lust of our heart. We get that. But what else is in there? Before you were born in your mother's womb, did the father place something in your heart? Heroism is just one aspect of it. And it's not being Rambo, standing up or swinging your sword. Sometimes it's just doing the right thing, saying the right thing in peace and love. We'll look at stay in Ruth. Ruth 1, or chapter 1, verse 14. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpha kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people and thy God, my God. How humble is that? How humble is she being right there? Is that kind of humility in your heart? And if not, why is that? If it's not in my heart, what's wrong with you, son? The humility. And because she was so humble, as we know the story, how was she blessed? Abundantly blessed. Abundantly blessed. So is that humility in your heart? Speaking of humility, 1 Samuel 24. Starting in verse 5. Let me get there. Well, you guys will be in verse 4. Sorry. David's men said to him, behold, this is the day of which Hashem said to you, behold, I am delivering your enemy into your hand, and you may do to him as you please. So David arose and stealthily cut off a corner of Saul's robe. Afterwards, however, David's conscience troubled him for having cut off the corner of Saul's garment. He said to his men, it will be sacrilegious before Hashem for me to do this thing to my Lord, the anointed of Hashem, to send forth my hand against him, for he is anointed of Hashem. And David sundered his men with rhetoric and did not permit them to rise up against Saul. Then Saul rose up from the cave and continued on that way. So we're talking about humility. Now, it's interesting that and the things that Miss Bev were saying starting off service, and that just lets that always... The Father is so good because he always reassures that, you know, this is the word, do not be scared, go. This is the word, go. And so when she's talking about being forgiving and not holding grudges, here we have David, who is trying to be killed by Saul. Saul's trying to kill him. And the forgiveness, the humbleness, and then his men, the mighty men, are saying, look, the Lord delivered him to you. Kill him, or we'll kill him. And in the King James Version, or in the other version, it'll say it hurt his heart. It punctured his heart to even just cut a piece of his robe or his cape or his skirt, just a piece of it. Is that kind of humility in your heart during this time, going into Passover and unleavened bread? This is where you need to be at. We have people who somebody might say something and, oh, I'm going to get him. All this other stuff. And David is his life is being threatened. And he does not want to touch a hair on his head. His life is being threatened. Our lives are being threatened. So pettiness, silliness, whatever, get rid of it. He is about to be, has had his life spears thrown at him, hiding in caves, running off in the wilderness. And he's saying, I'm not going to touch a hair on this anointed one. We wouldn't be here if there was not something so special calling that the Father has put on us. 2 Samuel 16. 2 Samuel 16. If somebody is trying to kill David, and David has love and compassion, what does that say about us? What does that say about us? And as individuals, what does it say about your heart? And who can judge the heart? The Father. So once again, it's really between you and the Father in heaven. Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, is our high priest. 2 Samuel 16, verse 5. King David, I gotta move. Sorry. King David came unto Bahurim. And behold, a man of Saul's family was coming out from there named Shimei, son of Gerar, and he was cursing as he was coming out. He pelted David and all of King David's servants with stones, as well as all the people and the soldiers, to his right and to his left. And this is what Shimei said as he cursed, go out, you man of bloodshed, you base man. Hashem is repaying you for all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead you have reigned, and has given over the kingdom into the hand of Absalom your son. Behold, you are now afflicted because you are a man of bloodshed. Abishai, son of Zeruiah, said to the king, why should this dead dog curse the Lord, curse my lord the king? I will go on ahead and take off his head. But the king said, what does it matter to me or to you, O sons of Zeruiah? He is cursing because Hashem has said to him, curse David. Who can then say, why have you done this? David then said to Abishai and all his servants, here, my own son, who has issued from my innard, seeks my life. So what now this Benjaminite? Let him be, let him curse, for Hashem has told him to. Perhaps Hashem will see the tears in my eye, and Hashem will repay me with goodness instead of his curse this day. So, If we know the background here, David's son, I think Absalom is trying to take the kingdom, so on and so forth, and David's running. And as he's running, somebody's cursing him, throwing rocks at him. Now, how many of us can walk down the street and have things thrown at you, people curse at you, and you not want to respond? So once again, we see the heart of David. We see humility, humbleness. Can you handle that? Is your heart like that? And if not, Father, what do I have to do to get my heart like that? So I can be in your presence, so I can be in your grace, so I can be in your will. What do I have to do? 1 John 1 John chapter 3. That shines light on why David is known as a man after God's own heart. Somebody's trying to kill him, he still loves him. Somebody's cursing him and throwing rocks at him, and he is humble enough to say, I deserve this. He's cursing me because the Father told him to. Hopefully the Father will be merciful upon me. Are we like that? Sons and daughters of the Most High God, believers of Christ, who should be Christ-like. 1 John chapter 3, starting in verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before men. If our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. A couple things was when he was talking about the heart in 20 and 21. As being believers and followers of the Lord, we have to be led by the Spirit, and the Spirit should be dwelling in our heart. So if we are doing things for the Lord, and let's just say maybe we slip up, which is odd because we're people, we're humans, and we slip up, he's saying that, well, God is greater than our heart, and he knows all things. But, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. If you're not condemned, if your heart does not say, hey, what are you doing? Then move on with confidence, because apparently you're being moved by the Spirit of God. That's what he was talking about being abiding in 24. Hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. We're going to look at in 18 where it says, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Just keep that in mind. We will see that again here very, very shortly. Turn back, 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 19. 2 Samuel chapter 19. We'll start in verse 19. Just give me amen whenever you get there. 2 Samuel chapter 19, starting in verse 19. When the fairy crossed over to bring across the household of the king and to do whatever was proper in his eyes, Shimei, son of Gerar, fell before the king as he was crossing the Jordan. He said to the king, let my lord not consider it iniquity for me, and do not remember that which your servant sinned on that day when my master, the king, left Jerusalem, that the king should take it to his heart. For your servant knows that I have sinned, and here I have come today, first among all the house of Joseph, to come down and greet my master, the king, Abishai, son of Zeruiah. Then spoke up and said, shall Shimei not be put to death despite this apology? For he has cursed the anointed one of Hashem. David then said, what does it matter to me or to you, O son of Zeruiah, that you should be an adversary unto me today? Shall a man of Israel be put to death today? For do I not know that today I am king over Israel? So the king said to Shimei, you shall not die. And the king swore to him. So the guy that was throwing rocks, acting an absolute monkey, all right, is now apologizing back to the king. Now, if you have that kind of power like David had, some people would have smote him. Some people would have been, would have no mercy. So once again, where's your heart at? Where does your mercy meter and love meter stop? Like, what level does it stop at? Does it go through the roof? Well, you know, I'll forgive this, I'll forgive that, but stuff like this and more, oh no. I'm getting mine back. I'm getting some back. And he's been brought back to the king. Once again, one of his mighty men is like, take care of him. He disrespected you. We live in a world today that when we have kids that are killing kids because of being disrespectful to each other. So look at the hearts of the people. Where is your heart at? Being an example in the world, going to and fro throughout the earth, is your heart shining like that? Is the glory of the Lord coming out of you like that? Because the world needs it. 2 Samuel 24. 2 Samuel 24. Starting in verse 1. Let me get there. 2 Samuel 24. Starting in verse 1. And again, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he moved David against them to say, go number Israel and Judah. For the king said to Joab, the captain of the host, which was with him, go now through all the tribes of Israel from Dan even to Beersheba, and number ye the people, that I may know the number of the people. And Joab said unto the king, now the Lord thy God add unto the people, how many soever they be, 100-fold. And that the eyes of my lord the king may see it. But why doth my lord the king delight in this thing? Notwithstanding, the king's word prevailed against Joab and against the captains of the host. And Joab and the captains of the host went out from the presence of the king to number the people of Israel. And if you are familiar with the Torah or the commandments, you know, they were not supposed to number, take a census of the people. They were not supposed to number the people. We skip down to 10, same chapter, verse 10. And David's heart smote him after that he had numbered the people. And David said unto the Lord, I have sinned greatly in that I have done. And now I beseech thee, O Lord, take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. His heart smote him. Now, if you look in Chronicles, don't have to turn in 1 Chronicles 21:1. The adversary came against David. That's what it says in 1 Chronicles, this same topic. The adversary came up. So the enemy does what he does. He tests, he tempts, he tries to get us to mess up. So he got David. David sins. David is close to the Lord. David has a good heart. His heart pricks him. I messed up. He repents to the Lord. And obviously there was decisions he had to make on how the Lord should punish him. But the point was that his heart smote him. So if you drop the ball, does your heart smote you? Or are you too prideful in your heart to even acknowledge that you were disrespectful to the one who sits on the throne? Or to the Lamb of God? Again. So does your heart prick you when you drop the ball? Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 9. Who can say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin? Who can say that? So you have either good stuff or bad stuff in your heart. Which one are you going to follow? Which one's going to be your master? What's going to be the route that you choose? Proverbs 27, verse 19. Proverbs 27, verse 19. As in water, face answereth to face, so the heart of man to man. And I used to say this all the time when I coached, you know, gentlemen, you are what you are. You are what you are. So as you're sitting there looking at the water and the water reflects back your face, whatever is in your heart, it is what it is. That is what you are. Your heart's not going to lie. We are fortunate to serve and worship a God that gives us ample opportunities to get right with him. So what is our excuse? And will we be man and woman of God enough to check ourselves as we get our heart checked as much as we need to get closer to Christ? the righteous things in our heart the Father has planted, and his seeds have to be developed and brought to surface. Psalms 119. Psalms 119, verse 9. Psalms 119, verse 9. Young people, listen up. How can a youngster purify his path by observing your word? With all my heart I sought you. Do not let me stray away from your commandments. In my heart I have stored your word so that I would not sin against you. So the word helps keep me in line. It helps keep me from following the other things that are in my heart that the Father knows that are not right. So we need to be reading and getting in your word. As somebody said a couple weeks ago, it helps keep me sane in this world. Psalms 40. Psalms 40. Psalms 40, starting in verse 5. Many, O Lord, my God, are the wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. My ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips. O Lord, thou knowest, I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. So the word and the commandments is going to help you when it comes down to our heart and not being overtaken by the other aspects that we have, the other problems and desires and lusts that we have. Luke 24. Luke 24. Remember earlier we had said something about deed and truth. We're going to see that again. Luke 24. Getting our hearts ready for the upcoming season. Luke 24, starting in verse 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with him. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake it, and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And then they said one to another, Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened up to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed, and he hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. Quite a few things. The deed and the truth. Okay. John 17:17, sanctify them in thy word. Thy word is truth. So you can substitute word and truth anywhere. Word and truth. Deed, your deeds. But what struck me the most was when they were walking and talking with the Lord, and they didn't know who it was until he opened their eyes. But once they realized who it was, and they was just like, Did not your heart burn when you heard the word? Not like fire and oh, that's awful, but it burned. It was powerful. It was beautiful. The word, it was burning inside my heart. It burned inside of us. It burned inside of them. They're sitting there talking to the Lord. They're like, at first they're like, where are you from? You don't know what's been going on? The last 3 days, during the season, Passover season, it burned inside their heart. Does the word burn inside your heart when you hear it? Does it burn the crap off your heart? It should burn. Fire should come up out of there. I understood that. Because when I was a younger man, a teenager, and I'm in church, and I'm sitting here, you know, you're supposed to be such and such basketball player, a ladies man, a gangster, or this, or that, and I'm sitting here in service, and I'm like, what is this burning inside of me? Why am I going crazy? Let me shut this up and cover it up. But in reality, you cannot stop the fire of the Lord in your heart. It's going to break through. You can't block it and stop it. It's going to erupt like a volcano. It burns inside. Does the word burn inside you, or does it prick your heart? First Kings chapter 3. I would encourage everybody, and I'm assuming most people do, that in reading of your word and trying to get your word, ran through it year to year, the Father is, he is a consummate teacher, and he is trying to teach us, not just people who, because you never know when you're put in a situation where you might have to minister to somebody or spread the gospel of Christ to somebody. So you have to be in your word to understand. 1 Kings chapter 3, we'll start in verse 5. And Gibeon Hashem appeared to Solomon in a dream of the night. God said to him, Request what I should give to you. Solomon said, You have done a great kindness with your servant David, my father, because he walked before you with truth and justice and with uprightness of heart with you. And you have preserved for him this great kindness and have granted him a son who sits on his throne this very day. And now, Hashem, my God, you have crowned your servant in place of David, my father, but I am a young lad. I do not know how to go out and come in. Your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a large nation that can neither be counted nor numbered because of its abundance. We'll stop right there. When I first read that, I can't explain to you how I felt when I read that, when I'm reading Solomon's in the dream as he's talking to the Father, because in the situation I'm in currently, where I have to step up and I have to give the bread to the sheep and I have to get with the Lord, and I have to get in my prayer closet under my tallit and be in my word. And I'm like, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what, this ain't really what I wanted to, I don't know what I'm doing. So when I'm reading this, I understand what he's saying. I understand what he's saying. I don't know what I'm doing. I need you to help me. I can't do this on my own. Don't leave me. Verse 9, may you grant your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, to distinguish between good and evil. For who can judge this formidable people of yours? It was good in the eyes of the Lord that Solomon had requested this thing. God said to him, because you have requested this thing, and you have not requested length of days, and have not requested riches, and have not requested the life of your enemies, but you have requested understanding to comprehend justice. Behold, I have acted in accordance with your words. Behold, I have given you a wise and understanding heart. Such there has never been anyone like you before, nor will anyone like you ever arise. Furthermore, even that which you did not request, I have granted you even riches and honor all your days, such that there has never been any man among the kings like you. If you walk in my ways, observing my decrees and commandments as your father David walked, I shall prolong your days. And the father always ends something with, if. I'll do this if. You have to do your part. I will overly do my part. I will overwhelm you with my aspect, but you're going to have to do your part. Walk in my commandments. Christ said it multiple times, if you love me, keep my commandments. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 1. Young people, listen up. Ephesians 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleases, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men. It's about your heart. You cannot truly say, Lord, I'm this, I'm that towards you, if you don't respect your parents, if you don't listen to your parents, if you have a job, and if you don't respect your boss. How can you respect the boss of bosses? It's always about proper preparation. If you don't respect whatever assembly or church you go to, you don't respect the authority that's already there, that he put there, if you know he placed his name there, if you don't respect it, or you got a whatever with it, then how can you respect the boss of the bosses? How can you respect the Lord? It doesn't go together. So he's trying to prepare the heart. Because the law will not be written on tablets of stone no more. It's going to be written on your heart. But what if you got a stony heart? It's going to be between you and the Lord. The more we look at our heart, the more we can understand that all of mankind has the right to choose righteous, godly justice over our own selfish desires from our heart. But they both are there. Which one manifests and becomes our marker? Which one marks us? For a long time, you know, you want to have your perception among people. You want to be known as this. You want to be known as that. And for a while, the Lord has been saying, I want you to be known as my son. Okay. And I'm saying, okay, but I was supposed to be doing this. I was supposed to be kind of coaching, you know, me and my boys, we used to get in the studio and do music. I want to be known as all these other things, but the Father said, I want you to be known as my son. Period. Proverbs 28. So we got to choose. What is our marker? How do we want to be known?
Which aspect of the heart do we follow? Do we follow the wickedness of our heart, or do we follow the good things that the Father put in our heart? Proverbs 28, verse 14. Happy is the man that feareth Yahweh, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. Happy is the man that feareth always, God fear, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. Now we're not going to turn there, but in Exodus chapter 4, 21 through 14, 8. Okay, the phrases of heart and hardened. Heart and hardened is about close to 20 times. 10 times it says, I the Lord will harden Pharaoh's heart. I the Lord will harden his heart. But 7 times, he hardened his own heart, as in Pharaoh. He had a prideful heart anyway. He's the king of Egypt. We have all these different gods. These sheep herders over here, their God is nothing to our God. So some of the times, the Father didn't have to harden his heart. He already had a hard heart. He was already a prideful and big-headed. So where's our hearts at? We got a little Pharaoh in us? You got a big head? You're tough? You don't sit on top of the world? You got a little Pharaoh in you. So he didn't have to harden his heart every single time. Sometimes he just did it on his own. But it was very clear, I, the Lord, will harden. Or just said, he hardened, as in Pharaoh himself, hardened his own heart. And we just read in Proverbs that you can harden your own heart. John 13. I might make it. I might get back on a good streak of being on time for the people on CDs. John 13. Because I hate not getting it all in, because if this is the word, which is the word, they need it. Wherever they are, they need it. They need prayer. We need to be praying for people who are off in different places, as well as they need to be praying for us. Amen. John 13, verse 2. And supper being ended, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. So here's the question. We all understand the story of Judas, but what was already in his heart? I mean, when you think about it, he has been walking with the Lord. God, man in the flesh, he's been walking, he's been with him. He's seen all this stuff that Christ did, but somehow he was able to be deceived. Kind of like how David, where he said he numbered the people, but in 1 Chronicles, the devil tempted him. The devil caused him to do it. So what was already in Judas's heart? It was had to be strong for him to say, I'm going to take this money and I'm going to sell out the Son of God. So once again, it doesn't matter. Sometimes it's not always the people in the world. It's the people in your midst. It's the people in the body of Christ. It's the people that are in the church. So we have to ask ourselves, what is in our heart? We'll scroll down to 26, same chapter, John. Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sop, and when I have dipped it. And when he dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest do quickly. So, is there cracks in our heart that where things like that can happen? That where you can be taken out the fold? You can be taken out of the fold? Where's your heart at right now, today? How strong is your heart? How weak is your heart? How vulnerable is your heart? Because it is heart check time, and the Father is checking our hearts. Things don't just happen just coincidentally. Things happen for a reason. So once again, if he decides to send another storm through here or wherever, will you be grounded? Is your heart okay by his standards? Will you just be sucked away because your heart had some errors in it? Genesis 27. Genesis 27, starting in verse 41.